Last week, I had forgotten my notes up in Brighton and kind of had to wing it a little bit. I wanted to speak about truth, and so I did a little bit last week. Without truth, how would you believe that song? If you didn't know what his promises were, how would you know that he's coming after us? He promised he would. So Ty was kind of kidding me that this week would be part two, truth part two. But in a way it is. But I got my notes. But so truth is important to us. We all love to hear God's words of truth. We love our lives according to them. In John 1:17, we see grace and truth mentioned hand in hand. They exist together in Christ. Truth shows the need, and grace meets it. First, he would have all men to be saved. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then he says later, "And come unto the knowledge of the truth." His great pleasure is to make the whole truth known to those who desire to know it. And what do we do with the words of Jesus when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? He is the way to God, the truth of God, and the life from God. He plainly witnesses of his eternal oneness with the Father. Christ is our way to the Father and to heaven. God has always dealt with us in truth. From the very beginning until now, there hasn't been a promise that hasn't been kept or will be kept, not a prophecy fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And according to Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Paul said to the Galatians, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" That's in Galatians 5:7. There was a certain persuasion introduced that was not from the God of grace. Even in verse 9, in that same chapter, he warns them, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Our pastor lately has recently warned us of leaven. Anything that is not of grace is going to hinder you. And that's the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things." Truth is not some cold, rigid code of laws or rules. Truth is life. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So when we witness to others, we should be bringing them enticing words of grace, speaking the truth in love. And if you look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6, truth is the primary piece of the armor. It says to have your loins girt about with truth. This is the solid base on which the other pieces are joined. The truth is so essential, according to Brother Copley, that it is also the sixth piece of the armor expressed by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The loins speak of a man's strength. To take in the Word of God with all your heart is to have your loins girt with truth. The need of knowing and believing the Word of God cannot be overstated. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he quoted the word of God in Deuteronomy 3 times. To turn away the devil, and likewise, if we know and believe the word, the Spirit will bring it to our remembrance when we are tempted by the devil. Last week I said, some say that no one knows all the truth. God says otherwise. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And in John 16:13, Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And we cannot only know all truth, but 1 Corinthians tells us we can know the deep things of God, the deeper truths. Now we know Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I wanted to, in the Timothy study book by Brother Copley, he addresses this particular verse, and I don't normally do this, and I don't like really to do this, but this was good enough to where I wanted to read this. Rightly dividing the word of truth, the original puts it thus, straightly cutting the word of truth, or cutting a straight course through the truth. It is like going into a forest. Here are 100 acres of timber, and we want to reach a point on the other side of the forest. So a path must be blazed through it. The fellow that understands how to do it takes his axe and cuts a straight course through the forest. On either side, he blazes the trees, and when the trees are in the way, he cuts them down or lays them open. He walks right through and takes his friend through to his destination. That is why the gospel minister is here, to blaze the way through the word of God, that the saints may journey happily through this forest of truth, that they may understand where they are going and how they are going and what they may expect at the end of the way. The God-sent minister spreads out Christ before his people in all his beauty, richness, and grandeur, emphasizing his present value and power and his future glory, as well as our glory with him. So we have been blessed by God to have ministers that have kept the truth here. They have guarded this truth like no other, to keep the leaven out. Grace truly is the reason we come here. This message, the truths that are in this place, is why we come to this church. And we have had two pastors that have guarded that message very well. And I so appreciate that. One more scripture I'd like to leave with you. It's in 3 John, verse 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's all I have.